Good evening. I'm glad to see everybody so bright and bushy-tailed tonight. I know y'all had a lot to say. So I guess the cold weather really perks you up, doesn't it? We are studying the poor. We're studying what the Bible says about the poor. And we have already covered the early church and their participation in remembering the poor. We saw the three congregations, one at Jerusalem, Antioch, and Macedonia, how they did great things to contribute to the aid of poorer saints. We saw where Paul, in particular, engaged in the helping poor Christians, and he encouraged others. We saw that he even accompanied some of these collections to take them to those that were in need. We also took a look at trying to understand the poor. That's something that we needed to know, and we still need to seek to do that, to understand exactly who the Bible says are poor. We looked at two examples. One was the poor widow who cast all of her living, he said, in there. So basically, she had either absolutely nothing or very, very little. And we did see in the Old Testament where God made provisions for the poor to offer less when it come to sacrifices. We looked at causes of the poor. We saw where it can be sinful actions based on the individual. We went through four examples of that. We saw where sinful actions of other people may prey upon the poor, dealing with greed and usury and things like that. We also saw where there could be natural disasters, and we see where God actually chastises people, causes them to go into poverty. And then lastly, we saw where it can be a voluntary choice. We saw the apostles that said they left everything, and we talked about how Jesus was poor, wasn't he, even though he was the Son of God. We went to the Old Testament, and we saw how God took great lengths to make provisions that in his law, through the law of Moses, for the poor to be able to eat. We saw several examples of that. We saw where they were not to be charged interest. We saw that they were on the seventh year to be given the fruit of the land. We saw also that they were allowed to glean the fields. What does it mean to glean the fields?
Go by and pick up the extras.
Extras, you know, that that's kind of on the outsides or whatever. We even saw where there was tithe was offered a third year for special groups, the Levites being one of those. Debts were canceled on the seventh year, every 7 years. We saw several counsels by Solomon. Talked about one of the ones in Proverbs 14:21, happy is the one who has mercy upon the poor, saying that God would be pleased with that. We also saw the opposite. When we oppress the poor, it brings reproach upon the Maker, as the Scriptures talked about. So we stopped at that particular place last time, and tonight I want to go into the New Testament, since we've looked at the Old Testament, and see what God says, the provisions that were made. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll start with Jesus. Matthew chapter 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, we see Him giving similar direction. If you go all the way over to verse 42, He tells them, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Now we got to remember, we cannot take these things out of context, right? Because the one thing that we discovered last time by looking at the provisions that God made in the Old Testament was what? Anybody remember the one common thread through it all? Well, that was, but the provisions, it did say that, the provisions was to feed them. And they were supposed to be able to eat. And it was specific scripture that told us that they could not fill up their vessels. They were not to be able to take back and can up stuff and this and that. Basically, God was saying, take care of the poor by not letting them go hungry. And as we will find a little bit more about this as we go forward. So, we have to kind of take a look at verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. We got to not take that to the context by which that I don't think God is talking about. he was very clear that we were supposed to be wise as serpents, you know, and innocent as doves. We're not supposed to be ignorant of what we're doing. When he was spreading, when we're going out to spread the gospel, if we were supposed to discern if someone was going to hear the gospel and not allow his precious word to be trampled underfoot. And so as we go through these scriptures, we've got to remember the common thread that goes through there. If we turn over to Luke, the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 6. This was, they call this kind of the Sermon on the Plain. That's where he was. If you begin reading in verse 34 of Luke chapter 6. "And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your neighbors, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Now again, he's talking about to those who do not have the ability to pay. They're very, very poor. When you prey upon the poor, that, as we saw Solomon talked about, that brings great reproach upon our Creator, God. It's embarrassing to think about people that have done well in this world to go after, not only to not give to the poor, but to prey upon them. And so he's saying here, you know, I don't think that the intent here is to be just lending to everybody you know, even if they have plenty of money and never expect to get anything in return. He's talking about to those that cannot provide for themselves. And we need to make sure that we are clear on that. Now, if you go over to Luke chapter 14, notice here what he says, and the people, we got to try to put together the principle that he is trying to get across to us when talking about those that are less fortunate. We see this parable here in verse 12, beginning of verse 12 of Luke chapter 14. "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." So we see there, he's talking about those that are just very, very poor. And so we can't take things out of context when we're just supposed to give this, give that to those that have, because that would be foolish. God does not like foolish people. There's lots of scripture that talks about being fools, and it's very condescending toward that amount. So we're taught here by Jesus that we're supposed to be willing to help the poor, aren't we? Let's take a look at what the apostles and prophets said also about this same thing. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And then we've got to continue to try to get the intent and the context by which the writers are trying to convey. Romans 12, look what he says in verse 13. He says, "Distributing to the necessity of the saints." So, what does that say to you? Contributing or distributing to the necessity of the saints. Are we supposed to start them a 401k? Are we supposed to build them a house? The necessity means they're bare needs, right? We want to make sure that people have shelter of some kind, or, and have clothing, and have food to eat. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at what he says in verses 17 through 19. It says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for them a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Very serious charge there. As we all know, there's very little good said about the rich. There just aren't. And it's not because we're saying it's bad to be rich, but because of the attitude that the rich have. He wouldn't say be not high-minded if typically the wealthy were not high-minded, right? And so he charges them, if you want to be rich, why don't you take that wealth and do something good with it? He says to distribute to the poor. In other words, he says ready to distribute, willing to communicate these things. So many of us aren't ready or willing to do such a thing. So we have Paul saying in Romans 12 and 13 to distribute to the necessity of the saints. And he tells here those that are rich, let them be ready and willing to do the same. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. The Hebrew writer. Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 16, Hebrews 13 verse 16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." So God likes us to have compassion and mercy on those that are in need. And we all probably remember very well in James, we'll just go over another page or so there, in 1 and 27, he tells us pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. When you think of the fatherless and you think of the widows, which we're going to get into a little bit later, what is that? What is that a picture of? Fatherless, who are the fatherless?
Orphans.
Orphans. They don't have mothers or dads. In other words, they don't have anybody to care for them. They're children. And widows, which we'll go into what he tells about what a widow is, they're in the same, right? So we're seeing here, again, a common thread. Those that cannot provide for themselves in some way, they're maimed, they're lame, they're very poor and possibly starving or hungry, or those that are very, very old or frail, or those that are children that don't have anyone to take care of them. If you will go to 1 John chapter 3, look what he says here in beginning in verse 16. 1 John chapter 3. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him." So in verse 17, if you've got this world good, if you have done well, and you see somebody in need, and you say, "I'm not going to help them," that's not good. How do you call yourself possessing the love of God? And we've got to understand, what is need? We don't need to buy them a new car. You know, if we see somebody that's cold, hungry, or desperately in need, as the Bible's been talking about, that's what he's talking about. And I don't think anybody has a problem with that. I've not known people that would do that, but clearly there are some. The thing about it is, we got to remember the mission of the church. What is the true mission of the church?
Spread the word.
It's a spiritual mission. It's not to go out and save the world on this earth to make them all rich and fed, truthfully. We're supposed to have mercy upon the poor, but we're supposed to try to get people to heaven. So he tells us, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, when we talked about this collection for the saints, we do, according to the Bible, want to take care of those that are in need. He had this special collection come up in verses 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians 16. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," he specifically states it, doesn't he? "As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in, him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come."
we see those, in other words, as we've looked through the Scripture already tonight, if you've had this world's good, we ought to try to contribute for those that are needy. And he told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that we're supposed to do that with a thoughtful purpose, aren't we? And that's the one thing that I try to emphasize, even in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write you. As he goes into detail there, and if you go into verse 7, he says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. You need to think about it. Put some thought into it, though, that collection for the saints. But the thing about it is, the individuals are really to fulfill our own family duties. We're not supposed to take care of people unless they have or follow us, or they're widows, or they're very, very poor. Now, if we go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says this specifically. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says in verse 16, if a man or woman that believeth have widows, let him relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. What is that saying? Let's read it again. If any woman or man that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. If we go back in that chapter to where he first started talking about that, at the beginning in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And then he goes into detail about that, verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed, notice, and desolate, trusteth in God, continueth in supplication and prayers, night and day, but she that liveth with pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and so, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken in to the number under 80 years old, having been a wife of one man, where reported of for good works, if she hath brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work. He says, but the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought to speak, or ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And then he goes back again, as we read in verse 16. So, a widow indeed is what?
60 years old.
60 is an age. What else? Doesn't have any nephews, has no kids, doesn't have any family, no extended family. Nephews is pretty extended, isn't it? When you have any extended family and they're destitute and they're poor indeed and they're widows, he's saying, they need to be taking care of them. What does he say that they're supposed to do? They're supposed to learn, it says. Verse 4. But if a widow have children or nephews, let them learn to show piety at home. Take care of their parents. Don't be self-centered. Don't take care of yourself. Just because you've worked and you've earned, if they are truly someone that's in need, you need to take care of them. And the church is not supposed to support those people. Now, if you think about that, that's pretty serious of God to say something like that, isn't it? You know, it gets a little uneasy when he comes out here, even talking about those widows. In verse 9, they got to be 60 years old, had been wife of one man, had to be well reported of, brought up children. If she's lodged strangers, washed the feet. She had to be somebody that has been well respected to take care of them. If you're going to charge them to the church, they need to have been somebody truly that's been devoted to God. So you don't just give out to whoever comes along. And we're going to see why that is. Because he expects them to do what is right, doesn't he? If we go over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. He talks here about what God expects. Beginning in verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed from whom... I'm in chapter 2. Excuse me. Chapter 3. I didn't think that sounded right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm supposed to be in Thessalonians. 2 Did I say Timothy? All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now let's try verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For you know, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. How strong is that statement? The thing about it is, many of the reasons that we saw in Solomon for people being poor was because they were lazy. They were slothful. They talked about the slumber. But there were other reasons that could have been preyed upon, natural disasters and things like that, and God could have chastised them.